I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. The Middle East has been much in the news these past weeks, what with all the news coming out about Syria, the anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and the ongoing repercussions from the Arab Spring. But what often gets lost in all the headlines and the news dominated by politicians are the rhythms of everyday life in these countries and the concerns of everyday people. Well, now there's a feature film that lifts the veil on life in Saudi Arabia. The film is called Wajda, and it tells the very universal story of a spunky 10-year-old girl by that name and her wish for a bicycle. But Wajda cannot afford one, so she enters a Quran reading competition at school to try to raise the money herself. Now, this would be a charming coming-of-age story almost anywhere. But in a country that bans movie theaters and places many restrictions on women and girls, including, famously, the freedom to drive, it's nothing short of remarkable. Not to mention the fact that the director is herself a Saudi woman. And Haifa Al-Mansour is with us now. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, no. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, congratulations. This is not only your first full-length feature, but as I understand it, we believe it is the first full-length feature to be shot entirely in Saudi Arabia. Is that right?
Yeah, it is correct. It has been a challenge. It was really difficult to shoot in Saudi. It's like, I'm really proud that I was able to shoot the film entirely in Riyadh.
How did, now forgive me, it sounds so simplistic, but how does a woman director go about making a film in Saudi Arabia, given that women are not permitted to drive, as we've said, and there are so many other restrictions on how women present themselves in public? How did you do it?
Well, it took a lot of work, and no, I had great producers as well. And the country is very conservative, and sometimes when we go outside, we film all the outdoors activity because the country is segregated, and women are not supposed to mix together. I had to film from a van, and I had a walkie-talkie and a monitor, and I was always confined in that space. But Saudi Arabia now is opening up, and there is some room for women and room for arts. And I felt it's such a rewarding feeling to be able to bring film into Saudi and just to be... I come from a small town, originally from a small town in the suburbs of Riyadh, and for me it was almost like coming home. There was an amazing feeling just to bring that sense of... to enjoy that sense of a little bit of openness in Saudi.
You got into film, as you mentioned. You grew up in a small town in mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia, where you're one of 12 children. And how did you become you?
I don't know. My family is also very traditional. Like my parents don't speak English or anything. We're very like typical middle class family, but they're very kind and they allowed me to be what I want to be. But whenever I stepped outside to the society, I knew exactly there are so much obstacles that I have to overcome. But I loved film since I was little, and I remember going to the video store, and of course women are not allowed because it's not like it's not like the very decent place for women to be. So I will stay outside with my abaya and ask the guy to bring me the catalog, and I will check the titles I want. So I grew up with watching a lot of films, and they have so much power, emotional power on me as a kid. In a small town, there's nothing to see, nothing to experience sometimes, and I witnessed life unfolding through film, and when I grew older and I came back to work in Saudi in early 2000s, I wanted to assert myself in the workplace and everything, and it was hard for me. As a woman, I felt invisible, and it was low point, so I wanted to make a film just as a therapy, and my brother helped holding the camera, and my sister the light, and I applied for a small competition in Abu Dhabi and got accepted. And they called me with the film and they sent me a ticket. And I went and they told me, you're the first female filmmaker. And it gave me a voice. And since then, I just continued. And it was natural what came after.
You've lived in Cairo. You live in Bahrain. Now you're in the U.S. at the moment with the film. Presumably, yeah. You could have filmed it somewhere else, like Arizona, you know, or someplace like that. Why was it so important to you to film in Saudi Arabia?
I wanted to bring a film that is... brings a slice of life, has authenticity, and a true representation of the country. It is easier to film, I don't know about Arizona, but it would have been easier.
Just an example.
I know, but it would have been easier to film, for example, in Dubai or places that are more open, more tolerant for art. But Eiffel Riyadh is a great place, and there is infrastructure for TV in Riyadh, and a lot of people just leave and go work in, for example, Bahrain or Dubai because it's easier. But I felt it is very important to support the industry there and to make a true film about Saudi. And also there is no imagery coming from Saudi Arabia. I thought maybe people would be interested to know how the country looks like.
I think that's true. I think it is. And so can you just tell me a little bit more about Wajda? Tell me a little bit more about how you saw her.
When I was writing Wajda, I based her a lot on my niece, one of my nieces, who has a great sense of humor, who's a hustler, and she's always scheming to earn money somewhere. But my brother became conservative, and she changed. And a lot of the girls I went to school with and I went to public school are like that. Like when they were kids, they had so much to offer to the world. But because the world is very, their families and the small society around them is very limiting, they gave up so much. And I wanted to make a film that tells them that they shouldn't, that they should be true to themselves and continue and embrace their potential. And those girls can change the world if they are given the chance and if they believe in themselves.
Was it difficult to find actresses willing to be filmed? I think that many people do understand that men usually do not see women with their hair uncovered. I mean, especially not women to whom they are unrelated. In fact, there's a storyline involving this very issue of a woman who's a young girl who's kind of found to have been a little too close to a man that she's not already related to, and this is a scandal. And so was it hard to find actresses? In fact, I think many people will note when the film comes out that there are some powerful performances by Huad Mohammed as Wajda, the young girl, but also her mother, Reem Abdullah. Was it hard to find actresses?
Well, yeah, it was hard, of course, to find females who would act, but thanks to TV again. So Reem Abdullah is like one of the biggest TV stars in Saudi. And so all the adults in the film, they made already their decision to challenge the traditional society and be in the entertainment business and to be out. But it was harder to find Wad Mohammed because it is hard to convince her parents, and it's about women, it's about empowering women and all that. But we saw a lot of girls, and we had to rely a lot on the word of mouth because there's no casting agencies, and someone knew someone, and someone knew someone, and all that. But she came in like late in the auditioning process, around 7 weeks before principal shooting, and it was really, it's great when we saw her. She just came. She didn't care. She's wearing like her jeans, and she had this spirit. And then we wanted her to sing. And, of course, she sang Justin Bieber.
You mean she sang a Justin Bieber song?
Yeah, and she knew the whole song. So I thought she speaks English, and I tried to introduce her to the film producers, and they're German. And she didn't speak a word of English. It's only what she knew was just Justin Bieber's songs. And for me, that was amazing. It is like, this is how Saudi is. They have access to pop culture, to stuff, but still they're very traditional.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Haifa Al-Mansour. We're talking about her new film, Wajda. It is believed to be the first full-length feature film filmed entirely in Saudi Arabia, and she is the first female film director from Saudi Arabia. And the film deals very much with the world of, you know, girls and women. But, you know, when you say it that way, it sounds like this kind of like, you know, forgive me, National Geo documentary, which it is not, which it is not. I mean, the story is this little girl wants a bike. But in the course of so doing, you find out that many people believe girls shouldn't even ride a bicycle. And it also shows a number of things like how it is to not be able to drive and what you have to do when you can't drive, but you still need to work. And there's another storyline about Wajda's mother, then her father. They clearly love each other, but her father is being, I'm not sure if he's being pressured to, do you want to, there's pressure. Yeah. Do you think he's being pressured to take a second wife in order to bear a son? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, of course, I think he's pressured. And for me, I wanted to tell a story about, it's a story about women, of course, and Saudi Arabia and how hard it is. But it's more about how, if we believe in ourselves, we can change the situation. Of how, like, we need to embrace a dream and follow it to the end and work hard and just never give up. And I felt it's a message that might resonate with people now back home. I don't want to see women as victim anymore. I feel like it is very important to give them characters that inspire them and give them self-confidence to continue. And for me, also men, I don't want to portray men as like the evil and the oppressors because it is not real. I think both men and women are trapped in a very conservative society that sometimes they take decisions that are not based on individual choices as much as how to be part of the tribe or part of the collective. it is not black and white, the situation. And the film does not neglect where it comes from in terms of women's rights and all that, but it also concentrates on how women are survivors and how they can really push and change things if they believe in themselves without... And I wasn't trying to make a loud film. I wanted to make a film that is emotional and that is that touches people.
You weren't trying to make a loud film, you say.
Yeah.
What would be a loud film?
Like radical clashes with the culture and all that. I'm making a film in Saudi Arabia, and that is controversial enough. And I don't want people to feel offended back home. I want them to see the film and feel that they see themselves. And they open up and become more tolerant and accept art. So that is why when I was writing, I tried to write a film that maintains my voice about empowering women, embracing higher values in life, like how art should be for me at least, but still like not clash with people and make them just reject the film altogether.
You know, there are some really fascinating characters in there. Obviously, Wenshida is just delightful. I mean, I think many of us with daughters that age will instantly recognize her with her high top sneakers and her bracelets and her various schemes to kind of raise money beyond her allowance. But there are also some characters I think that might be really surprising to people, like the schoolmistress or the head of school at her girls' school is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, she wears designer heels and designer clothes, and yet she tells the girls not to raise their voices in the hearing of men because what is it? Your voice is your nakedness.
Yeah. For me also, I wanted to show that women are sometimes the gatekeepers and there are reinforced values that are part of the society, maybe because they think it is right and it is what it should be done. And again, it's women are not innocent. You shouldn't say like women are only victims. It is like women sometimes they want to keep things the way they are. They don't want to break away. They want to reinforce things and keep them. Yeah.
And they're not all agitating for change. I think that women are not all on the barricades, you know, agitating for change. But, you know, I don't have to ask you about something, though. As we mentioned, there's another storyline. It's not just that Wenshida wants the bicycle, but that her father is under pressure to marry a second wife to bear a son. But I mean, the science of that is completely ridiculous, as I think most people with minimal science understand that it is not the woman who determines whether a male child is born or not. And I wonder if you, when you have something like that, something that is so easily disproven with 100-year-old science, and that's part of the film, I can imagine where a lot of people will walk away from it thinking, these people are really backward. I don't care how much internet they have. I don't care how many game systems they have. This is really backward. And I just wondered what your thought is about that.
Well, it is very traditional. It is a very traditional society. But it is not like about being backward. It is about clinging to tradition. It's not accepting change. And sometimes, yes, things are proven scientifically, but you don't give in to them because your values are different and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it is about how to move away from that. And for me, that is why I wanted the bicycle as a center of this movie. It is, of course, because of The Bicycle Thief and all those movies and all the cinematic heritage that comes with it. But also because, for me, a bicycle is a modern concept, like being on top of one's destiny. And it's about acceleration and about movement, the freedom of movement and all that. Yet it's a toy. It's not intimidating. And this is the heart of modernity versus what we have in Saudi sometimes is like the flat screens and the cars and amazing buildings. But I think people still at heart, they're very traditional. And yeah, modernity, still there is tension between modernity and tradition still in Saudi.
Well, I cannot ruin the ending. I cannot give it away. I will not be a spoiler, but I do want to ask, should we be happy or sad?
No, it's happy. It's a happy film.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's a happy film, but it's a film that is hopeful and doesn't take things for granted. It is about just as a person, you need to be happy and have a dream and work hard to achieve that dream.
Well, I don't want to spoil it again, but just in the world outside of the film, that there have been some changes. Women in Saudi Arabia, just this past April, women are now allowed to ride bicycles in public, but only in restricted recreational areas. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a new law passed to protect women, children, and domestic staff against domestic abuse. And as you said many times, this is a quiet film. It's not about, you know, big issues. You're an artist, not an activist. But when you look at these kinds of things, do you feel that in your lifetime that women in Saudi Arabia will be able to live the way that women in other parts of the Arab world live, which is being able to drive
and
vote.
Definitely.
Do you think that's going to happen?
I thought you were saying in the West, but in the Arab world, yes.
No,
definitely.
I mean in the Arab world. I mean, Saudi Arabia is the only place where women can't drive. I mean, do you think that they'll at least be able to enjoy the same freedoms like that people enjoy in Bahrain, like to vote?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Example.
Saudi Arabia is changing a lot, and still those like the changes you mentioned are very small, and but they change the mindset. You cannot imagine how people are conservative in Saudi and very tribal, and I sympathize with them because it is a little bit threatening to embrace a change all of a sudden and see internet and the overflow of information and all the young generation. It is different. The world is so much different. And sometimes I go to visit my mother, like, and my mother still lives in a small town in Saudi, and I see my extended family, which is very conservative. They change a lot, and they're more relaxed, more tolerant. And I feel like the general atmosphere in Saudi is not the same anymore. It is not. It used to be very tense and people against art and music and all that. And now they're willing to enjoy a little bit of that. So, yeah.
Do you feel now that you're out touring with the film, I mean, by intention, it's Inside Out. You know, you want to tell the story of a family, a child, a family in Saudi Arabia, from Saudi Arabia as a Saudi yourself. But now that you're out in the world with it, I wonder if you feel like you have to defend the country. Do you know?
No, I don't feel like I need to defend the country or anything, but I feel like I think Saudi Arabia should change when it comes to women, and they should allow more rights and all that. But I am really happy to see the change that is happening in Saudi and all that. And for me, it was not defending as much as explaining and just sharing my life and maybe explaining how it is to be in a society like Saudi, because it is an interesting society. It's very closed. It's very rich. There is lots of ideologies, and it's a society in motion and changing, and it's an amazing place for me to tell stories also. So,
well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much.
I can't wait to see what's next.
I'll let you know for sure.
Haifa Al-Mansour is the director of Wajida. It comes out tomorrow in New York and Los Angeles. It opens nationwide the following Friday. Haifa Al-Mansour, thank you so much for speaking with us.
No, thank you so much for having me.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.